You are listening to Breaking the Cycle. This is your host, Cody Owens. What's up, everyone? This is Breaking the Cycle, and I am your host, Cody Owens. Happy New Year, everyone. First episode of the new year, 2022. Hope everyone made it through the holiday season, made it through the new year, didn't blow your fingers off, and didn't have any too much drama throughout the holidays with your family, stuff like that. So hopefully we're all settling down and getting our New Year's resolutions in order, writing some things down, kind of getting our mind right, ready to attack this new year, you know. Every year I typically do write some things down. I write down a few goals, a few things I'd like to do, things I'd like to accomplish, places I'd like to go, stuff like that, right? And every year I notice that there are a few of those things I start to do, but I tend to kind of teeter off from, or the fire burns out, or whatever it may be. Interest gets piqued somewhere else. So my little brother Jeremy asked me for this year. He said, "Hey man, you write anything down, any goals, anything, you know, accomplishments, anything like that that you want to do for this year?" And I told him, I said, I wrote one word down. One singular word. Usually it's a lot. Usually I got 8, 10 different things. But that one word is consistency. Consistency in everything that I do. Consistency in every aspect of my life. If I can maintain the consistency, I can see a lot of these things through. So that's the goal. That is the motto for 2022. Consistency. So wanted to share that with you guys. That's what I've got going for the new year. Got some plans in the works for some competitions, some jiu-jitsu competitions. I've got one coming up at the end of January, a combat jiu-jitsu. And then another one with quite a few of my teammates here in Houston on February 20th for Submission Hunter. So real busy beginning of the year, but that's the way we like it. Staying busy, keeping crushing all of those personal accomplishments, right? So in today's episode, I want to talk about, again, we're breaking the cycle. I want to talk about different ways I've been able to recognize things over time. I do a lot of very critical thinking in the shower, right? Last night, I'm taking a shower after training, and I'm in there, and I'm thinking about my life, thinking about my day, thinking about jiu-jitsu, thinking about everything, right? Sometimes some distant memories make their way back in, and you start thinking about your life a very long time ago. And I started thinking about my life and kind of the way that I had turned out and the way my life had turned out for me and the way it worked out, some of the circumstances I had found myself in and how I got away from those things. Then I started thinking about my mom and her life and some of the circumstances and situations. And I thought about her brother, my Uncle Bobby, his life, some of his situations, and so on and so forth. And then her sister, my Aunt Debbie, same thing, her life, her situations. And I started realizing that there was a theme, this common theme basically played a factor in all three of their lives, all the way to the end of all three of their lives. They're all three deceased now. They've all died, you know, hence before their time, per se, far too young for all of us still around. So I started thinking about stories my mother had told me about when she was growing up, lots of different stories. I'd always try to pick a brain and learn about her life and learn about, you know, where she come from and things like that. And I remember she used to tell me that her dad, my pawpaw Skeeter, Buford Earl Thomason, he and my Nana, they owned a bar growing up while my mother was growing up, right? When she was young, she was smaller. So she probably spent a lot of time in the bar, you know, whether it was hanging out there, whether it was helping out, working, whatever the situation was, that was probably a theme in her life, which obviously her brother and sister probably dealt with some of the same things. So growing up with this atmosphere, this environment that you're surrounded with, you're kind of succumbed to those influences, right? So then I started thinking about how, you know, the first 7 years is the subconscious, the theta state where you're programmed, and how early you're introduced to some things may determine what type of adult you're going to be and some of the mistakes that you make later on in life. So this early exposure to alcohol, alcoholism, drunks, bar, the bar environment, that type of lifestyle was something that was probably ingrained into my mother and her siblings whenever they were fairly young. So this is something that is, subconsciously programmed into them as a sense of normalcy, as a sense of this is a way to make ends meet, a way to make a living, a coping mechanism, a crutch, a hangout spot, however it may be viewed for whoever may view it for the reasons they need it for, right? So I started realizing that later on in life, my mother was a product of that environment. When my parents started going through their split, their divorce, you know, they divorced when I was 13. I remember there was many times where my mom would escape. She would escape the, you know, her personal hell, her prison, her torture, whatever she was going through, whatever she was dealing with my father and her life pressures, whatever it was. Going to the bar became her coping mechanism, her crutch. It became her way to deal with things. And I remember there was times, you know, where, you know, I'm going to the grocery store, you know, be back, going to get some food. And it would be hours, you know, until she would come back, or she wouldn't come back with food or groceries at all. And that was just her way of escaping. Now that I'm a grown man and I've got my own issues and responsibilities and pressures of this life, I understand that there are ways people need to deal with their life. And the way that she was taught was to go and express it through drinking. And that was her release, her escape. So ultimately, I think that the alcohol may have played a factor into my mother's passing. My Uncle Bobby, I just want to clarify, I'm not trying to like talk shit about my family or anything. This is just stuff that's happened. This is real life experience. This is stuff that my family's been through, that I've gone through, that I've had to ask questions about and learn and try to break the cycle of, right? So, you know, my Uncle Bobby, he got to a point in his life where he had gotten, you know, X amount of DWIs or DUIs, and he had to go spend 1 month of every year in jail because of that. He could not have a license. He couldn't drive a vehicle. He couldn't do the normal things that you would want to do with your life. He had to have a lot of assistance getting around. He had to have a lot of help and depend on a lot of people because of his negligence, because of his alcoholism. And I think it may have played a factor into his passing. I'm almost certain that it did. And the same thing, you know, with my Aunt Debbie, my mom's sister. She was exposed to that alcoholism and that bar lifestyle fairly early as well. You know, she lived it hardcore. You know, her son passed away at a very young age, and I'm sure that probably contributed to some of her depression, and she used the drinking as, you know, more of a coping mechanism, like a lot of people. But she got a little heavier, you know, she got into some heavier drugs and subsequently had a stroke. And the first one, it took her ability to speak away. It paralyzed the left side of her face. And life was very difficult, very challenging for her after that. She couldn't get her point across the way she wanted sometimes. She couldn't communicate the things that she really wanted to say. She would get frustrated. And, you know, we all learn to live with it and deal with it and understand her. But I can only imagine what it must be like. And I think that her second stroke, the one that had killed her, I think that, you know, all of the drugs, alcohol, the environment that she continued to live in, to continue to be surrounded by, I think that ultimately contributed to her demise and her passing as well. So on my mother's side of the family, that's something that has been an issue. Alcoholism, alcohol abuse, drinking and driving, you know. I found myself at a young age being exposed, because what are we? We're only products of our environment. The people before us only know what they know because it was taught to them by the people before them. because that's all the people before them knew. So it isn't until these cycles down the line where people can learn and observe their history and observe their family members before and recognize the patterns, recognize some of the mistakes that were made before and consciously choose to break that cycle. Personally, I was headed down that same path. I really was. I at 21 years old, the year after my mother died, my mother passed away when I was 20, I spent the next year basically trying to kill myself through drugs and alcohol. I got a DWI leaving a concert one night. I made an illegal U-turn in the Woodlands, and I got pulled over, field sobriety test, taken to the hospital, blood drawn, the whole nine, taken directly to jail. I was intoxicated. I was driving under the influence. That took about at least $10,000 and 10 years away from me, away from my life. I'm just now 2022, January 2022. I'm just now eligible to get my license back. I've started the process to go and legitimately get my driver's license back. It's been so damn long, I got to take the driving test again, right? But that was a consequence of a mistake I had made, and I learned from that consequence. So we rewind that a little bit and go back to 20, my mother passing, right? This is also something that came to me when I was critically thinking in the shower, right? Thinking about just my life and how things had come to be the way they are. And I started thinking about my mother passing and how that shaped me and molded me and catapulted me into what would be the beginning of the rest of my life. The new chapter of me basically getting rid of who I was before and becoming this new person. I was talking to my wife, Courtney, last night, and I told her, I said, you know, I haven't really thought about it like this before, but in some weird fucking way, in some divine connection of the universe, somehow, some way, my mother passing was the worst thing and the best thing that ever happened to my life. Obviously the worst, because it's an unbearable and unimaginable pain. I relive it. I get emotional thinking about it all the time. I cry weekly over the loss of my mother. It's a pain I'll never learn to live with. I'll never be okay with that pain, with those feelings, you know? But I'm learning to live with them. Day by day, a little at a little, I get better, I get stronger. I learn from what my mother taught me, right? But that changed me. Her passing changed me. At first, I was numb, and I'm still very numb to a lot of feelings, to a lot of emotions. And I have to apologize to people in my life all the time because I just don't feel things the way most people do. I don't feel things the way most people should. When people die in my life, it doesn't feel the same as losing your mother. So it may not affect me the way it affects other people, but I'm numb to a lot of stuff because of that. I've chosen to feel, again, you know, I found love, I married my wife, you know, I have a lot of great people that I love in my life. I just told my professor Travis last night, I loved him leaving the gym. I love people. I feel that emotion again. But for a very long time, that was taken away from me. A lot of things were changed. Like I said, I spent the next year trying to basically kill myself through drugs and alcohol. And I was partying every night, going into debt, overdrafting my account just to get some pack of cigarettes and some gas to get to the next spot, you know. That type of thing, making the same mistakes the people before me had made to get into the positions that they were in. And I was headed in the same exact direction. But I got that DWI, that DUI. I'd spent that year fucking my life off. I sat in jail. I thought about it. I weighed all of the options in my life. I could do this, I could do that, I could go here, I could go there, I could try all these different things. And this one recurring thing kept popping up, and that was my little brother. He was 10 years old when my mother passed, and he lived with our stepdad, Roberto, at the time. Our father had given up rights and signed him over, that type of thing, you know. And I always knew that kid needed to be with me, But I was in no position at that time to care for him. I could barely care for myself. So I knew at that moment, sitting in jail, going through all of the stuff I had gone through with the DWI, I decided to make a change. I decided for my little brother that I was going to change my life, that I was going to become a better person, a better man. I was going to become somebody for my little brother to look up to. Our father wasn't always around. Older brother was living his life, girlfriend, you know, doing his thing. Stepdad didn't really know how to be a father. He didn't really know how to do it. His dad wasn't around for him. So he didn't learn those things. He was doing the best he could on the fly. And I told myself that I was going to get my shit together. I was going to get my life together. And I was going to get into a position where I could take Jeremy, that he could come and live with me so that he could be in the best position and have the best opportunity to be successful. I knew that I could provide that for him, but I had to get to that position. So I decided to do that. I quit drinking. I quit smoking. I quit doing everything. I decided to become a much better person. I got back into martial arts. I started doing the positive things, building myself up, positive reinforcement. You can, you will, you are going to do these things. You will overcome this situation. And slowly but surely, I became that person. Not only for myself, but for my brother, most importantly. If it was up to me, I would have just kept doing the same thing. I was in a comfort. I was in a zone. I didn't care about anything. But that kid made me change my life. He made me become the person that I am today, the man that's talking on this microphone. He's the reason, initially, I became that person. With the help, the guidance, and influence of my wife, I would say we've both become pretty damn good men. So that was the turning point. You know, my mother passing, me spending that year just doing stupid stuff and then deciding, I have to change. I have to give my brother a role model. I want him to look at me and go, I want to be like Cody. I want to do what Cody does. So I am the man I am because of my little brother, because of my mother's passing, because of the circumstances life provided to me. I could have fallen victim. I could have chosen to just say, fuck it, man, and continue going down that dark path and continuing in that environment that I was in. But I ridded myself from the people that had been influencing me. I ridded myself from the drugs that had been distracting my mind and clouding my perspective. I had done the things that I thought I needed to do to become a good person, a better person. And slowly but surely, life started changing. Life started turning around. Got a vehicle. A new vehicle. That's another thing. The week after my mother passed, I tried to go back to work and I got in a pretty serious accident, ended up totaling my vehicle. And long story short, I never got that vehicle back. I never got paid from it. The towing service turned out to be a fraud. They ended up stealing my vehicle. And once they found it, it was in Mexico, all chopped up. And there's nothing we could do about it. So there's just a small little snippet of my life at that time as well. That took a long time to figure out too. But anyway, you know, dealing with the circumstances, I decided to change my life. I became what I needed to become. And, you know, a few years back, my wife and I did the necessary things through the court systems to legally become Jeremy's parents, to legally become his guardians. It's a conservatorship. We basically have God-given parental rights. We're just not his blood parents, right? I'm legally his guardian, all that fun stuff. So that's a very big accomplishment in my life. Is that I set that goal out to take him under my wing, to bring him in and help guide him and get him to the things that I knew he could do, and become the bright young man, the shining star that I knew he could be, that I knew he was. So we all teamed up, got together and made that happen. We had a big celebration and I'm legally his guardian. He calls me his brother dad, his Brad, you know. So I tell people there's a cliche and people get it all the time tattooed and they say it, but legitimately, I am my brother's keeper. And that's something that I'm very proud of and I will be that until the day that I die. And that's something that I hope people talk about whenever they speak of me after I'm gone, how much I took after that kid, how much I looked after that kid, because it's the thing that is my biggest accomplishment, I'm the proudest of in my life. I didn't birth him, and I didn't, you know, he's not like that child that skipped all the diapers and stuff, you know, but he's my kid, man. Courtney would say the same thing. That's her kiddo. Till the day we die, that's our kid, you know, and I'll do everything I can, just like I have done up until this point, to remain that person for him, that role model, that father figure, that big brother. I'll do everything to be there for him. So again, you know, like I was saying, in some weird way, it was the worst and the best thing. It was the worst because of how much it had spiraled me and how much it had made me, you know, be depressed and go down in this dark place. But then it gave me the fuel and motivation to become this other thing. It saved my life. It made me decide to become something for my brother, which afforded me this life I have now. You know, I look at my life and yeah, everybody may want more, but shit, man, from where I was and where I was headed, I've made it. I'm successful. You know, I've got a great family around me. I have a great gym that I go to filled with great family members there. I have this home that I live in. You know, I have all the little nicks and knacks and things that I ever could have imagined. And I can afford to go out and eat a dinner here and there. And jiu-jitsu has allowed me to travel the country and go out of the country to go to competitions and do things like that. I just look back at my life and imagine, where the hell would I be if my mother hadn't passed away? You know, what would my life be like? How messed up would I be? Would I be in jail? Would I be dead? You know, what other thing would have had to have happened in my life for me to get that wake up call? So I guess kind of wrapping this all together, you're really a product of your environment. You can only be that because it's what you consume on a day-to-day basis. It isn't until you become old enough to recognize that it's detrimental to you, to where you can make the conscious effort, the conscious decision to try to change, to try to break the cycle. So that's just a little story about how a very bad, dark situation became a very good situation, a silver lining per se. So I wanted to share that with you guys. Again, Happy New Year, first podcast of the year. We're going to keep that consistency up this year. No matter what it is that we decide to do this year, let's be consistent with that. Consistent with the podcast, consistent with your training, consistent with your workouts, your water, your healthy eating, whatever it is you decide to do, you be consistent with it and you're going to absolutely kill it this year. Thank you for your time. Thanks for listening. I'm out.